of the ways, one of the reasons we study the Bible is to understand how God works, because He makes it very clear in the Word of God how He works. And one of the ways He works is through trials. It's very interesting. He'll call you to do something, and then you go through a trial, and the reason for the trial is not that He gives it to us. It comes from the enemy, or it comes from just living in this life. But through that trial, you will learn something and gain some strength that'll help you for what God called you to do. Now, an example in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. He wanted to go to a particular place and start some churches, and God said, "No, I'm going to call you to go to Macedonia and Greece." And so he goes to Macedonia, and the first thing that happens is he gets thrown in jail. Not only was he thrown in jail, he was beaten and thrown in jail. But through that experience and through the being in jail, the Philippian jailer got saved. His family got saved. They started a church there, and things began to happen. So what God does, He uses the trials of life to make us stronger, to mature us in Him. And there's no such thing as a Christian that's serious about God not going through trials, because we do. And what God wants to do is show us how to go through them, how to strengthen them in us. And He doesn't want us to go around the same mountain every time. And we talked about that last time. The nation of Israel kept going around Mount Horeb, and they went around that mountain for 40 years. Most of them that started out died before they ever went into the Promised Land. And what the Promised Land is the mature, Spirit-filled Christian life where you make a difference in this world. So I got some good news about trials today. Now, one of the things that the tribulation period, which we talk about, the seven-year tribulation, going to be a horrible time. I do not believe we as the church are going to go through that time. I think He's going to take us out first. But we do still have trials between now and then, so we're not going to have trials. But the tribulation period is going to separate those that are Christians and those that are not. That's what it's going to do. That's what trials do. You have people that talk a good religious story, but when trials come, sometimes they fall. And what trials do is separate. Sometimes we use an old expression, the men from the boys, so to speak. In other words, you see, if some people go through trials, they fall, they never come back to church, you never see them again. You see somebody else going through a trial, and they're going to come to church, be stronger than ever, praising God. You see, and that's what trials do. That's what God uses trials for, is to make you and I stronger, and those that are just talking a story but don't have the reality of the Christian life, they fall away. And what God wants to do is for you to find peace in the midst of the storm. You were talking about praying for Pat there. That's kind of what she needs. She needs the peace of God going through this storm that she's going through right this particular minute. God told the disciples, He said, Jesus said, "I want you to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So in order to do that, they had to get into a boat, cross the Sea of Galilee. Right in the middle of the journey, a big storm came up, was almost going to sink their boat. They thought they were going to die. But you see, they had a word from God. He said, "Go to the other side." How many knows that regardless of what they went through, they'll be able to go to the other side? That's the issue. They're going to learn strength. They're going to learn trust. They're going to learn these things, to trust God in the midst of a storm. Jackie was talking about a financial storm, and the answer came, but she had to stay strong until it came. So many times when God says, tells you to go someplace, you might go through a difficulty getting there, but you'll be stronger when you get there. And that's the way He works. We get stronger through the storms. Somebody said you plant a tree, and you say a fairly young tree, and that tree is out in nature, and it goes through storms, it goes through good times, but when the wind blows and makes that tree bend back and forth, that's when it gets stronger. Are you listening to me? A trial is not designed to put you down. It's designed for you to stand and be strong in it. And when you are, you'll be stronger the next time. But if you give in to it, you complain, blame things on everybody else, then you'll just have to go around that mountain one more time. Because God wants us, He wants strong, vibrant people to enter heaven. That's what He wants. And so it's important that we understand there's a purpose for storms. You might have a storm go through. Now, we just had one here a couple of days ago, and it blew some trees down, blew some tree limbs down. It knocked some power out, did various things. But you clean those things up, and you keep on moving, and you prepare for life in that way. And we know we're not alone. God said He never takes His hands off of us. I said He never takes His hands off of it. You see, when God loved us before the foundation of the world, He's going to love us right on into eternity. And He even loved those that went to hell. We have to understand God's love never changes. You can't change His love. You can't do anything to make it better or make it worse. His love, it's always consistent. It always stays the same. He chose you, and he's never going to not choose you, so to speak. He made a choice to love you and to see you through this life into the next one, and He will do it, absolutely. You can either hold His hand or try to do it on your own. But the idea is the trials are designed to get us to hold on to Jesus, and He'll take us through whatever we're going through, it, whatever it might be. Now, in the midst of it, He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you wisdom. You're going to learn something. You won't go through the same trials all the time. If you learn through a trial, then He'll allow another one to come to teach you something else. You won't keep going through the same thing all the time. If you learn the first time, then you'll go to learn something else. And that's the way it is in this life. Some of the greatest Christians ever have gone through trials right up to the time that they went to be with the Lord. And that's because God wanted them strong. Now, you're going to learn if you know the Lord. Otherwise, trials are designed to bring you to Christ. But if you know the Lord, they're designed to make you stronger and learn the things of God. All right. Let's look at John 3:3. Now, there's a couple things we're going to learn through trials. Number one is we need to know the truth of God. And number two, we need to do the works of God. The truth of God and the works of God go together. James said, faith without works is dead. And what he was saying was, those two things go together. You can say a whole bunch of stuff and know a whole lot of things and not do anything. But he says, they go together. So we want to keep that in mind. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you can look at that in a lot of ways. You say, well, you have to be saved to see the kingdom of God. That's correct. But you can look at it another way. When you are saved, you can see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God right now is in spirit. But later on, when Jesus comes, it's also going to be in reality on this earth. I mean, it's going to be a physical kingdom you can touch. And He's going to be the king. Right now He's the king, but it's a spiritual kingdom. It's within you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God's kingdom. So He said, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, unless you're a Christian. unless you are a child of God. That's truth. Now look in Luke 11:20. Luke 11:20. I think the best thing to do with the Bible, just take it at what it says. And don't try to spiritualize it or do anything else. Just take it at what it says. Now, look at this. First he said, now remember, you have to be born again. You have to be a Christian to see the kingdom of God. Now the second question is, how do you know when the kingdom of God is with you? This is the scripture for that. Verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. In another place, he was talking about John the Baptist was put in jail, and John said, I want to make sure this is the right one. How am I going to know? So he sent some people to Jesus, and Jesus answered him, well, you see people healed, you see people delivered from the enemy, and you see the dead raised. How do you know? That then you know the kingdom of God is among you. When you see, when you pray for somebody, you see them healed. The kingdom of God is there. So you have the truth of the Word of God, and then you have the works of the Word of God. They go together. If you just have one, you're very likely to be very prideful. And if you just have the other one, you're very likely not to have a lot of truth, and you're liable to make some mistakes. So truth and works go together in the kingdom of God. That's what it says. Now, in other words, don't just get a bunch of truth and fill up some notebooks and just put them on the shelf. Work that out in your life. Learn from God and do it. It says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Learn to love God. Learn to praise God. Learn to lift your life up to God, depending on Him. And then love your neighbors yourself and learn how to do that with other people. Make a choice to love somebody and help them regardless of what they do. We've talked about this before. That's what God does with us. He loves us knowing everything we're going to do, right and wrong. The wrong didn't change His love. The right didn't change His love. He made a choice to love us. We have to make a choice to love people. Now, you don't have to be around abusive people, but we should love them and pray for them and everything we can. Now, that's doing the works of God. We don't just receive the love of God and become a stagnant pond. We want it to flow out of us to this world. That's what Christian life is all about. We pray and pray and learn and train, and then we go out of this place and we do it. If it doesn't work out there, there's something wrong in here. Are you listening to me? Now, the kingdom of God is the Lord's domain. It's where Jesus is. That's what the kingdom of God is. We want the kingdom of God here. Now the spiritual kingdom, later the physical kingdom. But we want the kingdom of God here. It's available to everybody right now. And you have to ask for it. You have to ask for salvation. You have to ask for the works of God in your life. But if you do that, you have to be dedicated to God to do anything He asks you to do. You can't just say, okay, God, I want to do something. I just want to do it with my family, and I want to have the power of God to bless my family. What if He wants you to bless the next door neighbors? What if He wants to bless somebody else someplace else? What if He wants you to take a trip and go pray for somebody? You can't just pick and choose. You have to be willing. If you want the power of God, you want to hear from God, you have to be willing to do anything He says. Are you listening? We have to be totally dedicated to Him. This is not a partial thing. We pick and choose just whenever we want to do it. He understands that you have to make a living. He understands that you have to get up in the morning and dress and all that kind of stuff. But what he wants you to be totally, He wants people to be totally available to Him. In other words, He wants to be able to say to this church, I want you to go and and help rebuild that church over there just burned down. You see what I'm saying? He wants us to, we have to be available to him on a 24-hour basis. And you say, well, I'm going to fit it into my program. Well, you're not going to have the kingdom of God working into your life, because we are to fit in his program. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It's us fitting in his program. And trials bring us to the place where we fit in his program. That's what I'm talking about, the trials of life. Now, there's two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom that you can touch, feel, taste, smell, hear, and so on. And then there's the spiritual kingdom of God. They are running parallel together. They're both here. Now, I can reach out and touch this pew. This is in the kingdom of this world. I can touch it. I can see it. And so on. That's the kingdom of this world. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you see it in somebody being saved, somebody being healed, somebody being delivered, somebody being anointed of God, see it in the praise and worship of people. There's two kingdoms. You're either going to live in the kingdom of this world, or you're going to live in the kingdom of God, and which right now, spiritual kingdom is in this world. It's kind of like this. I heard somebody say this morning, a preacher, he says, like a ship in an ocean. You're on the ocean, but you're not part of the ocean. But you're on the ocean. We're in this world. We're not part of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is the spiritual kingdom of God. This world is temporary. It was not designed to last forever, and neither are our bodies. But we will be with God forever. These two kingdoms are running together. Where are you living? What kingdom are you living in? We are citizens of heaven, ambassadors on this earth, and so don't get too attached to it, and because it's a temporary thing. Everything designed on this earth is designed to help us bless the Lord in this earth. That's what it's all about. And so don't get too disturbed with what goes on. Don't get totally downtrodden about what's happening in Washington, because it's temporary. Are you listening to me? We're to pray for those people, vote Christians into there as much as we can, but we're not going to do a whole lot to change what's going on in Washington at the present time, unfortunately. But we can do our part and do what we're supposed to do, vote, pray, etc. And that's what we are to do. But we want to primarily be concerned about God's kingdom and what is he doing? What is God doing? Now, it's just like God. That revival is going on down in Florida, and he didn't pick some fancy, even good-looking preacher to run that program down there. I don't even know if the guy down there went to seminary or not. And as I said before, he's got tattoos from his ankles up to his nose, just about. And we would say, man, that guy is a character. You know who God chooses? Characters. And he'll take a person like that, fill him with the Spirit of God, give him the power to preach and to touch people and they're healed, just to show you that he's in charge. Because we wouldn't do it that way. Are you listening to me? We wouldn't do it that way. And so I look at that thing and I say, my goodness, God must be in this thing. The devil wouldn't even choose this guy. You know what I mean? And it's that kind of a thing. And so you say, well, this is not what I'm used to. God's not what you're used to either. You understand what I'm saying? When Jesus shows up, you're probably not used to that either, unfortunately. But I'd like to get used to it. You understand what I'm saying? And it'll be different. But then we'd start doing what we're here for. We're not here to do most of the stuff that we do. We're here to do what Jesus wants us to do. We're on assignment, it's temporary, and then we go back to be with him. It's just that simple. So don't get too shook about what's going on the earth. There's a lot of things happening, but we don't have to worry about that. It's available to us now, the kingdom of God. We are to... This book is about the kingdom of God. It's not going to tell you how to go out and plant trees, probably, or something of that nature. It's going to tell you how to operate in the kingdom of God. Most of us aren't operating in it. We're getting information, but we're not doing much. And I'm said most of us. I included myself in that. And that's it. Now, sometimes you're going to walk through trials. Sometimes you're going to walk through hardships. There's no guarantee here. I always think of that angel that was sent. What's that show they have every Christmas with? It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. That angel didn't want to have anything to do with that assignment. I'll tell you that right now. He said, "Lord, you got the wrong angel for this job, because this guy is never going to get there, you know." And so sometimes we think the same thing. God, wait a minute, you got me in the wrong assignment, wrong place, whatever. God says, "I got you where I want you. Now just do what I asked you to do." You don't have to do what Billy Graham's doing, anybody else is doing. Todd Bentley in Florida, you don't even have to do that. But what you have to do is what God's called us to do, and most of us haven't got a clue, if we're honest about it, you see. Because we get too tangled up in this world and too worried about it. We don't pray enough, we don't read our Bible enough to really understand what's happening. But hopefully that's going to change. Now, we're not looking for trials, we're looking for the kingdom of God. But trials come, and because they do, we need to learn from them, every single one of them. It would not be what you chose. I guarantee you, we go through things in this life we wouldn't choose. If we could choose otherwise, we would. But we can't. We have to go through, and God knows exactly what we're going to go through, and He knows how to take care of us through it, and He knows how to make us stronger out the other side. I mentioned this before. I lost my first wife back in 91, and I wouldn't have chose that. I wouldn't have chose that assignment. And we took care of her at home and did a lot of things. And I'll guarantee you that I didn't. My grade school didn't teach me how to do that. I had to learn that. You learn things in life. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm stronger in the Lord today because of it. Are you listening? Because I went through that assignment and came out the other side. He was with me. And he said, "Okay, get it together and move on." And that's what I did. And that's what I'm doing. And I have no idea, really, if things remain basically the same, I'll be preaching here a month from now. But if God's got something else, who knows what He's going to do? Maybe He's going to come in the next week. I don't know. But I know this. It's really interesting to me. John McCain was on Ellen DeGeneres' show. I never watched that thing. But they showed excerpts of it on Fox News. And she announced to him, I thought the whole thing was kind of stupid, but she announced to him that she was going to marry her girlfriend. Because, as you know, in one of the states now, they said, "Well, we're going to legalize this, so everybody's going to be running over there and getting married." And she was one of them. So what?
Two states now.
Yes, ma'am. And my guardian angel just straightened me out on that. There's two states. And there you go. So... Yeah, right. They're going to make you travel a few miles anywhere you go, right? Well, anyway, so John McCain's sitting here, and she's sitting there, and she announces this thing to him, and he told her he didn't agree with her. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. Yeah, he didn't make a big deal out of it. He just said, "You know, I don't agree with that. I don't think I don't know his exact words." You know what I would have said? If you died in the next 5 minutes, where would you go? And you know another thing I would have said? I would have said, "You got a lot more guts than I do. you're defying the word of the living God. That is correct. Yeah. The people didn't vote that in. That's right. But what I'm just telling you is we have to come down to what's important here and what's the reality is and what kingdom are we going to follow. Are you listening? We're going to follow the kingdom of man or we're going to follow the kingdom of God. Now, that's the issue. And if you follow the kingdom of God the way this world is today and this country is, it's going to bring some hardships. I'm going to tell you right now. But that we're going to be stronger because of it, and it's going to be a good thing when we get to heaven, hallelujah, because we're ambassadors down here for the King, and we are giving out the rules of the kingdom, and we're preaching the rules of the kingdom, and hopefully we're following the rules of the kingdom, and so it's going to bring, some people aren't going to be happy about that. I can tell you that right now. That's just the way it is. Now, it's just interesting to me that it's time that Christians stood up for what is right. You see what I'm saying? Just not kind of say, well, you know, I just don't agree with that, but whatever. You know, what's going to happen to you at the end? I mean, where are you going to be here? You can do this stuff, and there's consequences to it. That'd be a third thing. You know there's consequences to that? Because it's defying the laws of the living God. And so there's two kingdoms running parallel. And one of them, at the end, one of them's going to veer off into lake of fire. And the other one, hallelujah, is going to be with Jesus. Are you listening? Yes, ma'am.
We also need to make our voices heard.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't. If somebody told me that, I said, you know, you have the right to make a choice, but I sure wouldn't choose that one. Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't choose that choice. There's consequences to every choice we make, and terrible consequences to that one. And I'm not putting you down. You know, we ought to love them and pray for them and all this kind of thing, but horrible decisions. You see, now, one of the big things, what the enemy always does, he says, you're not worthy of all this. You're not worthy of the kingdom of God. You are if you know the King. If you know the King, you are. You're worthy of all that. And that you are worthy. I don't care what anybody else has said. I don't care what your mother and dad said. I don't care what your best friend said. You're worthy if you know Jesus. Because you have His righteousness. That's the way we get into heaven. We have His righteousness, you see. We don't get in by our righteousness. Now, so don't allow the enemy to tell you you're not worthy because of something you did or what you're doing. What you're doing, even if it's wrong, does not change the love of God. There's consequences to doing wrong, but it's not going to change the love of God for you. So, but the issue is, if we're Christians, we want to get ourselves in a position where if God calls, we can answer. We want to get ourselves in the position, if God says, go call up somebody, we can call them up. If somebody says, go see somebody, you go see them. And you visit them. Now, as I said, these two kingdoms, now, the kingdom of this world is designed by the enemy so that you will not follow God. That's what it's here for. That's what the enemy does. This world is designed to keep you from following God. And that's what it does. They take God out of everything, as you know, and so forth. We talked about that. Now, God is working in you and I to correct us, to strengthen us, to prepare us for heaven and also for what He has for us here now, and so that we'll be stronger. Look in Hebrews 12:7. Hebrews 12:7. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, which says, here it is. If you endure chastening or spanking or correction, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. Whenever it says sons, it means daughters also. For what son or daughter is he whom the Father chastens not? If you are without chastening, of which all are partakers, you need to see that, all are partakers, not some. This nonsense about Christians never go through trials is a bunch of baloney. All are partakers, but if you're without chastisement, you never have any problems, then you're not a son of God. Because the way God shapes us, the way he wants to, is through trials and chastening and this correction that he puts us through things in life, so we'll become. But Satan will say, okay, you really messed up. You were married and you got a divorce, and you ended up in jail back so-and-so, or you stole somebody's car, or you lied about this, or you committed adultery, or whatever it is. And the whole thing is just designed to tell you're not worthy, but God's saying, respond to me. I have plans for your life. Are you listening to me? I don't care what you did in the past. God doesn't care what you did in the past. What he is interested in is what you're going to do now and the next day. Are you listening to me? He doesn't care about the past. The only one that does is the enemy, and he's going to beat on you forever with it, so he can stop you from walking in the Spirit and following God, because that's what God wants in your life. I don't care. Start today. You see, I didn't say there weren't consequences from the past. I never said that. There always is, but that's beside the point. God wants you to start following him now. And the enemy will drag you through the past as many times as he can. He'll get you to think about that junk as long as he can, and everybody has it. If you don't think everybody has it, just wait. A lot of times, somebody, about time they're going to die, then you find out that maybe they weren't as perfect as you thought they were, you see. But that's not the issue. I don't care. Jesus doesn't care about the past. Doesn't care about the past. I would say that 100 times if it would help. He doesn't care about it. So you shouldn't either. And start moving on in the things of God. Start today. Start living in the kingdom of God. Start praying. What you do in trials you don't understand, or what you do in trials you can't figure out in your own mind, or what you do in trials that you don't see an end to it, that's when you pray and ask God to take you through it, to show you the way, to use it to strengthen you however he wants to, so you'll be ready for his assignment when you come out the other side. Do I hear an amen? That's what trials of life are for. And when people are going through trials and your friends are going through trials, you don't pray that they don't go through the trial. You pray they learn everything in it and are strong when they get out of it, and they're going to be stronger in the Lord. And you pray for yourself the same way. I'm giving you practical things about trials and tribulations, because everybody goes through them. Now, if you're a Christian, you're in the kingdom of God, but you want the kingdom of God to manifest or show itself through your life. That's what God wants. You already have it, but he can't work through all that mulling over the past and being mad at somebody who did something 10 years ago and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to help one thing. You have to ask God to cleanse your mind and cleanse your memory, and he may never tell. You'll probably never get rid of it entirely, but the issue is when it comes up, change the subject in your mind. And certainly don't talk about it every day, you see. because that's just going to reinforce everything. Okay. Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he who the father chastens not? So, my goodness, you ever seen a child didn't need a spanking every once in a while? Now, that's not legal today, and it's not all that kind of stuff. But how many here, was there anybody here that never needed a spanking at one time or another? Well, okay, so when you become a child of God, God's going to have to do a little work on your life. You got that? It's, you know, he doesn't like you, and you're not worthy, and all that kind of thing. All right. What's going to happen if you ignore God and all these things? You'll go through punishment, but you won't get the correction part of it. And you're going to go right around the mountain again, that same one. Right around that hill again, right around that thing again. Did you ever get lost sometime and end up in the same place you started out? How many ever did that? Okay. Particularly if you're like me and you don't like to ask directions. I always ask Grace to ask. That is terrible, isn't it? I tell you, it's awful. But she'll do it. She doesn't mind. She likes to talk to people. So that's a good thing. Yeah, right. You thought you were the only one, didn't you? Okay. So you're already the kingdom of God. Look in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think. I'm not sure. That's pretty good. You didn't even believe the GPR, huh? That's pretty good. Oh, I might be wrong here. Let me look here a minute. It might be 2 Corinthians, or we might have to forget it. Let's see. Well, let's forget that. So anyway, Satan wants to keep you operating in the world. That's what he's designed to do. His whole program is to get you to operate in the world, in the ways of the world, and the way the world does it. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be thinking in the world. He wants you to do all that in the world. And when he does, the kingdom of God's not going to mean much to you. Now, okay, I'm going to finish up here. Probably not today. I'm going to quit right there. But I think that you need to understand why we're here. You need to understand why you're here. If you know where you came from, and if you know why you're here, and you know where you're going, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But you see, the problem is, Ellen DeGeneres doesn't know where she came from. That's number one. And she has no clue where she's going whatsoever. You see, that's the problem. We Christians know where we came from, we know why we're here, and we know where we're going. She doesn't even know why she's here. She hasn't got a clue. She's making all kinds of money on television and has not got a clue why she's here. Not one clue. You and I are making 1% of what she's making. And we know where we came from, we know why we're here, and we know where we're going. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Let's stand before the Lord.